Hey everybody, welcome to Hope. My name is Scott Raines. I'm one of the pastors here. And every time I go to put together a message, one of the things I start out with is trying to figure out what we all have in common. What could we talk about that would make us all kind of feel like we're in the same boat? Because the truth is, we're all very different in a lot of really good and really important ways. Some of you are introverted, some of you are extroverted, some of you vote blue, some of you vote red, some of you love the great outdoors, some of you are wise, and you prefer temperature-controlled environments that are bug-free. Yeah. On a little more serious note, I think as we gather together for worship, one of the things that's different is there are people in this room who have made a decision about who Jesus is. You are convinced Jesus is the Messiah, he's the Son of God, and you've decided, and maybe you've been living this way for quite a while, some of you, to shape your life around the life of Jesus. But our hope is there are other people in the room who are not quite sure. Your minds are not made up. You're seeking. You're trying to figure out what it is that you believe about the Bible or about Jesus or about church. And if that's you, we just want to say we're so glad that you are here. We built this place to be a safe place for people to keep on asking and seeking and knocking. And we hope all of us are doing that. There's always a next step of growth for all of us. So in spite of how different we may be, I think one of the things we have in common is we are worriers. Anything happen in your life this week, anything going on in the world that's filling you with a little bit of worry and fear about the future of this planet, like countries in the Middle East launching missiles at each other, or natural disasters in the cleanup and the stories that we're hearing happening down in the southeastern corner. And maybe when you hear stories like this, you wonder, like, how would I respond? What would I do if something like that were to happen to me or were to happen to my family? Well, let's keep it closer to home. I was talking this week, texting with someone from our congregation. They were asking for prayers because they just found out a longtime close family friend had tragically been killed in a farm accident. I was talking to a guy on the phone. He's been married for 46 years, and his wife has cancer and is going through chemotherapy treatments, and he was saying, the doctors are not at all optimistic that the treatments are going to help. I met with a family this week to plan a funeral that's going to be happening here tomorrow morning. And then there's just kind of the regular, everyday, ordinary stresses and worries of life, like our calendars and our schedules and how do we get the kids to all the activities that they need to get to. There's interpersonal relationships that sometimes go sideways. That maybe you're looking at your bank account and worried, is it going to be enough in there to get me through to the next paycheck? Some of the best wisdom on life that the world has ever seen comes from the Bible in what we call the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Jesus is speaking to a huge crowd of people, and Jesus spends some time in the Sermon on the Mount talking about taking revenge on your enemy. He spent some time talking about relationships. He spent some time talking about money and finances. And a big part of what Jesus says about all of these kinds of things that happen in our life that lead to stress and worry, Jesus says, don't worry about it. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about your life. And again, all of the people gathered on that hillside that day, they were different in all kinds of really important ways, and yet Jesus understood one of the things they all had in common is they worry a lot. And so Jesus asks them a question, and I think it's a question Jesus asks us today. It's Matthew 6, 27. It's on the screen. Let's read this out loud together. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Just let that one sit there for a little bit. Dr. Kelly McGonigal is a Stanford researcher. She's a professor. She has a TED Talk that's been viewed over 15 million times. She's the author of several books, including one called The Upside of Stress. So part of what they talk about in the book, there was a massive study done of adults in America. And so they looked at adults, a wide range of adults, different in all kinds of ways, 18-year-olds up to 78-year-old adults, and they asked them to kind of think about this statement. Taking all things together, I feel my life is meaningful. Would you agree with that? Strongly agree? Disagree? Strongly disagree? And I'm asking you this morning, lots of things in your life that are great, lots of things that are not so great, but taking all things together, I feel my life is meaningful. I wonder what you would say, agree or disagree. So the people in this study, the ones who said, I strongly agree with that, then they took a look at them to see, are there any commonalities? Are there any common traits among people who say, I feel like I'm living a meaningful life? And one of the things they all had in common was stress, a lot of stress. And it was fascinating the way they talked about it. The people in this study, when they talked about things going on in their life that kind of filling them with stress and worry, these people leading meaningful lives, they associated those stresses and worries with meaning. Similarly, when they looked at the past, obstacles that they had overcome, challenges that they had somehow managed to find a way to get through, to get to the other side, but it caused a lot of stress and worry at the time. These people associated all those challenges with, it's just part and parcel of living a meaningful life. And so kind of the summary statement of all of this research they did, what leads to a meaningful life and where does stress come from, here's the way they summarized it. People with very meaningful lives worry more and have more stress than people with less meaningful lives. Do not worry, Jesus says. So I think clearly what Jesus is saying is stop trying to live a meaningful life, people. Just start to just kind of, whatever. Thank you for laughing. My goodness. But did you all stay up partying till 3 in the morning because Iowa State's undefeated? Good grief. Why wouldn't you? Anyway, I don't think that's the point we're supposed to get today, so hang with me. I was actually kind of disappointed the first time I read that. Don't you wish it would be the other way around? Like if you are leading a meaningful and purposeful life, it would reduce stress for you? But when you stop and think about it, if you want to live a meaningful life, and my guess is, you are here because you want a meaningful life. Most people do. One of the best-selling books of all time is about seeking a purpose-driven life. We want lives of meaning and purpose. And when you stop and think about it, the things that add meaning and purpose to our life are almost always the same things that add worry and stress to our lives. Job situations, figuring out what am I supposed to do vocationally, occupationally with my life can be stressful. We worry about that. Families. Relationships, marriages, parent and child relationships, friendships, leads to a lot of stress and worry and leads to a lot of meaning and purpose. Dr. Kelly McGonigal, she refers to herself as a health psychologist. I'd never heard that term before. What she means by a health psychologist is she's very interested in what is happening biologically. As our body responds to stress and worry. What's going on biologically? What's happening in our bodies as we respond to stress and worry? And she's interested in that so that she can help people develop a healthier or better way of responding to stress and worry from a psychological standpoint or in terms of our brain health. Biological and psychological responses to stress and worry. I want to spend a little bit of time just talking about why I think this matters for people who are serious about their faith. Serious about living a spiritual life, serious about following after Jesus. Remember, our faith, the Christian faith, is an embodied faith. And what I mean by that is when you go back to the beginning, the book of Genesis, in the beginning God creates the heavens and the earth, and part of what God creates is humanity. And pay close attention to the description. How does God create human beings? We're told in the book of Genesis that God forms the human body from the dust of the ground, and God breathes the breath of life into our nostrils. So again, right from the very beginning, we see the importance of the human body when it comes to living a life of faith, when it comes to having a relationship with God. And then to sort of highlight just exactly how important the human body is to living a life of faith, we get Christmas. This is the central salvation story of our faith, is that God becomes a human being. God takes on a human body. That Jesus is God incarnate. God in the flesh. God with a body. This is how God saves us, by being born and by dying and by being raised to life in a human body. When we recite the Apostles' Creed around here, one of the things we talk about is we believe in the resurrection of the body. The body, the human body, is really important if we're going to live a life of faith, because our faith is an embodied faith. So the more we understand about what's going on in our bodies, the more we understand about what's going on in our brains, how do our brains work, it's actually going to help us understand what God is up to in our lives. what God is up to as we're trying to live a spiritual life. So Dr. McGonigal is taking a look at stress response. And again, one of the things we all have in common, our bodies respond to stress in similar ways. When we are stressed out, part of the stress response of the human body is to produce hormones, and one of the hormones that gets produced is cortisol. We talked about it just briefly last week, how cortisol is a stress hormone. We'll talk about it a little more today. This stress hormone that gets produced in our bodies when we're stressed out and worried, the long-term effects of too much or a lot of cortisol in our system, it's terrible for our health. And we've known this for a long time. People have been talking about how bad stress is for our health, for our human bodies. Here's the long-term effects of too much cortisol when we're stressed out. Problems with memory and focus, high blood pressure and stroke, heart disease, heart attack, muscle tension and pain, digestive problems, sleep problems, weight gain, depression, headaches, and anxiety. So the wisdom of Scripture, the command of Scripture, is do not worry. Why might God command us not to worry? Is it perhaps precisely because God loves us? And God loves us enough to say, I don't want your body to fill up with this kind of stuff and become unhealthy and diseased and sick. So don't worry. Now, at the same time, we want to live lives of meaning and purpose, and what science is telling us, when we're pursuing a life of meaning and purpose, there's going to be a lot of stress and a lot of worry. So this becomes really problematic for people of faith especially. We've heard, if you've been around church world for a while, you've heard over and over again these repeated commands, do not fear, do not worry, and yet we do. And so when we feel that sense of fear and worry in our lives, we think, oh, that must mean my faith is weak. I need to strengthen my faith. So what is going to be my plan? What's going to be my strategy for overcoming this worry in my life? I know I will just stop doing the things that add meaning and purpose to my life because they're just too stressful. I'll just check out. That's what Jeff does in this sitcom, The Goldbergs. He's a high performer. He is driven. He's got the highest GPA in his class. He gets to give the valedictorian address at his high school graduation. Awesome, right? It'll look good on his resume, right? Except it's so worrisome and troublesome and stressful to him that he develops shingles. So what will be Jeff's strategy for wiping out worry in his life? Take a look. I'm convinced we all do this sort of thing in our own sort of special and unique ways. When life is hard, when we're stressed out and we find ourselves just kind of overwhelmed with worry, we want to check out. We want to find a way to just kind of disengage from the hard stuff of life. We will start daydreaming about what will life be like when things get easier. Maybe you're a parent of a baby and you're like, well, as soon as that baby is potty trained, then life will be so much easier. Or then the baby becomes a preschooler, and as soon as the preschooler goes off to college for college, let's skip college. How about we start with kindergarten? That's the one. 6, 7, 8 hours of school, then life will be easier. How about when they actually start driving themselves? And I don't have to be the taxi driver, but they can get themselves to their friend's house or to school or to work or practice or whatever it be. Life will be so much easier and so stress-free once my kids start driving. You guys, I mean, I'll pull you along with me this morning. We'll be all right. All right. Life will be better once I get through the midterm or once I graduate and get to live out on my own. Life will be better when the remodel project is finished. Life will be better when I get the promotion. Life will be better once I'm retired because then I won't have to be so stressed out and worried about anything. Life will be so much easier then. A year ago, I think it was, in one of my sermons, I played a portion of a viral video clip from Kara Lawson. She's the head women's basketball coach at Duke University. And in the clip, she was talking to her players and talking to them about this tendency that we have, you know, life will be easier when. And part of the wisdom she says to her players is, you do know life never gets easier, right? And the language she uses was precise. She says, if you have a meaningful pursuit, life will never get easier. And so as she is coaching and developing her players, she's trying to build a different kind of mindset into them. Stop thinking about what could make life easier, and instead make your focus, how can I become the kind of person who handles hard better? How do we become the kind of people who handle hard better? That's what this book, The Upside of Stress by Dr. Kelly McGonigal, is really all about. How do we become people who handle hard better? And I think the biblical command, the biblical wisdom, do not worry, is really about becoming the kind of people who our faith helps us develop into people who handle hard better. So, Dr. McGonigal, she's very interested in the biological and psychological response to stress. And what we know about how our bodies respond to stress, it produces hormones like cortisol. But cortisol is not the only hormone that gets produced when, and this is true for all of us, when our body goes into stress response, one of the hormones that gets produced is oxytocin. And oxytocin has gotten a lot of press the last decade or two as people have been discovering how important oxytocin is for early childhood development. If you're going to develop a healthy, secure attachment, oxytocin is really critical to that. And then to long-term, it's got tremendous health benefits. So when we are stressed out and worried, what's our biological response and what is our psychological response? Our biological response is to produce this hormone, oxytocin, which has a couple of cute nicknames. It's sometimes called the cuddle hormone. It's sometimes called the love hormone because it's the hormone our bodies produce when we experience a human embrace. It's the hormone our bodies produce when a mother is feeding her infant child. It develops these strong, healthy social bonds. That's what oxytocin is all about. It's all about connection. So in the context of stress and worry and how do we respond to it in healthier and healthier ways, part of what Dr. McGonigal is trying to say is this biological response of producing a connection hormone should be a reminder to us when we're feeling stress and worry to stop and remember that this is my body's way of telling me I am in need of connection. When we're stressed out and worried, our bodies naturally produce oxytocin. Our bodies that have been created and designed by God produce this hormone that moves us in the direction of connection. Relationship, seeking out help from another. When we're stressed out, when we are worried because of the very real things that are going on in our life and we feel it in our bodies, this is our body's way of telling us, seek out relationship, seek out connection, surround yourself with people who care about you. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, I guess it's kind of interesting, Pastor Scott, but this is church, right? I didn't come for a science class. I came to hear a sermon, a Bible-based sermon. And as you're talking, this is making me mad because this is really what's wrong with churches these days. They talk about biology and psychobabble. They don't teach the Bible anymore. We'll teach the Bible here. Here's what I want to ask you to consider. If our faith really is an embodied faith, then doesn't it make logical sense that the more I understand about how my body works, the more I understand about how my brain is functioning, that's going to actually enlighten scriptures for me. It's going to help the words of scripture come to life for me. The more I understand about how my body works, the more I understand about psychology, that's going to help the Bible become a better and better tool for me all the time in my transformation into Christ-likeness. So let's look at some scripture. Philippians chapter 4 is our Bible reading for today. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul begins by copying, repeating what Jesus says. Don't worry about anything. This is the consistent wisdom of scripture. Don't worry about anything, but of course we all feel worry. And so the real question isn't, how do I stop worrying? The real question is, what do I do when I feel worried, when I feel stressed? What do I do with my worry? And again, think we're at the end of this message series, 7 Habits of Highly Effective Christians. It began 7 weeks ago when we were looking at Romans chapter 12. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. Well, how does the world respond to stress and worry? We just kind of spiral down, focusing in on it, thinking about it, but we keep it all to ourselves. We just kind of bottle it up and we say, I'm fine, it's going to be fine, it's fine. And it makes us sick. Don't worry about anything. Become someone who God can transform into a new person by changing the way you think. That's what Romans chapter 12 says. This whole message series is kind of based on that idea. So what if instead of spiraling down and just kind of letting our bodies fill up with cortisol that makes us sick, what if we could start to think, when I feel worried, when I feel that anxious stress in my body because of the things that are happening in my life, what if I could think, oh, this is my body telling me I need to connect? Apostle Paul goes on, he says, don't worry about anything, instead, pray about everything. Don't worry, Paul says, connect. And the starting place for connection is the God who created you, the God who loves you, the God who wants the very best for your life. And again, as we start to do this, as we start to put this into practice, next Sunday, October 13th, we're going to start a 40-day prayer journey together. We'll invite you to be a part of that. You heard Pastor Nick say there's going to be a giving campaign in November. It will end 40 days from next Sunday. And so every day leading up to and during the November giving campaign, we want to practice this muscle. When we're worried, when we're stressed out, what if we could remind ourselves, this is an opportunity for me to connect. This is my body telling me that it's time to connect. And the starting place is connecting with God, not bottling it up, but telling God exactly what's going on, exactly what I need, and thanking God for all he has done for us. If we make this a habit in our lives, as we exercise and strengthen this muscle, the Apostle Paul goes on to say in this very same passage, God has an incredible gift for us. Here's verse 7. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. When we're paying attention to what's going on in our bodies and in our minds, when we're stressed out and worried, and we use it as a reminder, what we do with our stress and worry, it's a reminder to connect with God, and then we actually do that, we practice that, we make that a habit. God has a gift for us, and it's peace. And Jesus says the peace that he gives us is a peace the world cannot give us. We can't find it any other place. It's peace for our hearts, and it's peace for our minds. And now are you ready for your minds to be blown? Look what else the Apostle Paul says about, this is what God's peace does for us. His peace will guard your heart. Paul's writing this 2,000 years ago. Don't worry, instead connect with God in prayer, and then you will experience God's peace, and God's peace will guard your heart. Now we know that part of our stress response, if we can learn to have a kind of a different mindset when we experience peace, when we experience stress and worry, it will lead to peace because our body is producing oxytocin. And if you look up, what are some of the health benefits of oxytocin? One of the things you'll see, they'll tell you oxytocin is cardio, heart, protective. Oxytocin literally guards your heart. Isn't that cool? I wish you could write sermons. When I was sitting across from my, son Dalton at a coffee shop on Thursday when I found this phrase, oxytocin is cardioprotective, and I was like, wow! He's like, what are you doing? What is it? Anyway, I think this is amazing. I think understanding how our bodies work and our brains work makes the Bible all the more awesome. God's peace, when you connect with him in prayer, when you're worried and stressed out, it makes your heart healthy instead of making your heart sick. But it requires changing the way we think. It requires a new mindset. So every time I'm feeling stressed out and worried, what am I going to do with it? This is now an opportunity for me to grow, an opportunity for me to handle hard better, an opportunity for God to be at work in my life, maturing me, giving me resilience. This is how God is going to be at work in me. This process of transformation into Christ-likeness is going to take place as I learn to develop and strengthen this habit. But it requires changing the way we think. It requires a mindset shift. And that's what Paul says next in verse 8. We'll put it up on the screen. Let's read this out loud together. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. That's a pretty cool verse. That'd be a good verse for us to memorize. It'd be a good verse for me to memorize. I don't know about you. I often find myself fixing my thoughts on things that are not true or honorable or worthy of praise. Thursday is sermon writing day for me. Then it's Friday, right? Then it's the weekend. You want to know what one of the thoughts your pastor often has on Fridays? I can't believe I have to work all weekend. Everybody else is so excited because it's the weekend, and this is like the hardest part of the week for me. And they get to sit around all day Saturday and watch football. They get to watch the football games that they care about. And my team always plays while I'm at church. And then somebody tells me the score. So by the time I get home, I already know the outcome of the game before I even turn it on to watch it. Poor me. A buddy of mine from church this week said to me, you know, that is actually a tremendous gift. Because when you watch a game and you already know how the game ends, you already know the final score, it completely changes the way you watch that game. And in the context of what we're talking about today, you don't worry at all when you watch a game when you already know how the game ends. Penalty, who cares? Turnover, who cares? You know, yesterday, I knew the outcome of the Iowa game before they even kicked off. Because they were going to be playing Ohio State at Ohio State, and Ohio State is a really, really good team. And there's a lot of players on that Ohio State team who are working for a victory that happens off the field. Back at the end of August, when the preseason training camp was coming to an end, the players had been on campus like most of the summer, but now at the end of August, the rest of the student body was coming back to school, and some of the players of this Ohio State football team, they organized a prayer rally, and they invited all the students on campus to come to this. Some of the football players, they shared their stories. Here's what God is up to in my life. Here's what Jesus means to me. Here's the difference Jesus is making in my life. And they sang some songs, and they handed out hundreds of Bibles because thousands of students came. And then they invited the students, if you would like to put your faith in Jesus, you could be baptized right now. And 60 students came and were baptized. There's this movement that's happening, and it's not just happening at Ohio State. It's happening at a lot of places, where football teams are exploring faith and figuring out what does it look like to live by faith, and it's really making a difference for the culture of those sports teams. Here's kind of the catchphrase or the theme of this faith movement on the football team at Ohio State. They put it on these t-shirts. The phrase is Jesus won. Jesus won. Why would they make that the catchphrase or the theme of this movement of faith? Take a look. When you know how the game's going to end, it makes the game that much more enjoyable. And the game of life is going to end with Jesus seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who becomes the Son of Man, who wins this victory over sin and death so that you and I don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about what we're going to eat or drink. We don't have to worry about what we're going to wear. We don't have to worry about our life. We can enjoy our life, because Jesus won. So rejoice in the Lord always. Jesus won. So seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Jesus won. So cast your cares to him because he cares for you. Jesus won, and he won with love. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins.